NFL records keep falling because no one gets in Walker's way. And Michigan's number one son shows how to stay out of harm's way. Boston makes a wish on the falling stars, and the Breakers ride a wave of emotion. While in Denver, the new coach seems to like it just fine, thank you, here in the USFL. Michigan Panthers are warming to an important challenge and warning anyone who tries to stand in their way.
Hey, we're going to be on the prowl today, baby!
Their head-spinning winning streak was stopped at six, and now Tampa Bay quarterbacks are facing the wrath of the league's top sack attack. Jimmy Jordan returns after 2 weeks on the sidelines, but becomes one of three bandit passers to be stalked and captured by the Panthers. Determined to get the last laugh this time, Michigan fires one line after another at the seemingly offenseless bandits. It's the bandits who are bombing tonight, and that delights just about everyone in the Silver Dome. Even when Tampa tries to surrender, Michigan's Will Coakley just won't accept the terms. And though Greg Boone's 100 yards from their goal line, the Panthers figure better safety than sorry. Tampa Bay coach Steve Spurrier shares a few of his observations, but when a Michigan kickoff is recovered by none other than the player who kicked it, Novo Bjelovic, well, Spurrier must feel like he's on the wrong side. Michigan quarterback Bobby Hebert is taking advantage of a new man on his side, running back Terry Miller, who was let go by Denver and is proving to be a gold mine for the Panthers. The ex-All-American for Oklahoma State and All-Pro for the Buffalo Bills seems to be finding the form that made him a Heisman Trophy runner-up to Earl Campbell. His two touchdowns put the game out of reach, and Miller goes off as the Panthers' top rusher for the night. Hebert then goes looking for the game's top receiver. Tight end Mike Cobb's touchdown catch is his fourth of the season, and when John Williams reaches double figures in touchdowns, he celebrates with a double spike. It all adds up to an embarrassing 43-7 loss for Spurrier's Bandits, who despite producing some impressive numbers of their own, have now been the victim of the two most lopsided defeats in league history. History has a way of repeating itself when it comes to the Panthers' Anthony Carter, who in college was a record-setting performer at Michigan. The crowds in the Pontiac Silverdome are seeing a familiar face when they see the guy wearing number one. In fact, all that's changed are the colors. Against Tampa, Carter became the first USFL player to return a punt for a touchdown, going 57 yards on this third quarter run. He must have stirred up pleasant Michigan memories of the kid who set an NCAA record for all-purpose yardage, while three times returning punts and kickoffs all the way. A little bit of deja vu? Well, it's just the magic touch that makes Michigan love AC. If it's this muddy, it must be DC, where the league's two losingest teams want to stop sliding. The playoffs are untouchable, but the Generals want to shake their loser's tag. And the Feds? Well, they just want to appease their fans. Former Gold quarterback Jeff Knappel is wearing a new jersey, but Herschel Walker is still the state-of-the-art for the Generals. On the first play from scrimmage, Walker rambles 83 yards for a big head start on a league-record 194-yard day. Washington's Ray Yawk caught Herschel's act in a one-point loss 7 weeks earlier, but a new duo is about to be heard from.
On second down, here comes the blitz. They throw Knappel down. He's got a man wide open. Touchdown,
Mike Preedy and Knapp will turn out to be heartbreakers, and bleary-eyed federal watchers cry out for relief from the seemingly endless frustration.
Generals with it. Knapple is back. Getting pressure from Betty Smith. Going down, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Mike Getz.
The guesswork provides an answer for the always puzzling Federals, who finally get a grasp on things and look for a way to include their own protagonist in the narrative.
First and 10, the 32-yard line. Taylor behind a wall of blockers. Guts outside. He's at the 25, the 20. He'll be scoring for Washington. Touchdown, Billy Taylor.
The script suddenly seems tailored for the D.C. crowd, but New Jersey coach Chuck Fairbanks hasn't heard the last of it. They're bringing down the house now, and the newest hero is rewarded for his bravery. But this one is far from being resolved, and the feds get some prompting from a former leading man. Next in the spotlight is Mike Harris, who receives a standing ovation for his role in giving Washington the lead. But late in the fourth act, New Jersey's offense reappears, and Knapple climaxes a 75-yard drive with a toss to Sam Bowers, whose six-point soliloquy makes it 29-all. Offstage, the leading actors confer over the latest developments, and the audience now seems totally baffled. Just when it seemed the home team was finally destined for a happy ending, the Federals find themselves unable to bring the curtain down on the visitors. The marquee describes a drama, and Washington finally turns to soloist Sandro Vitiello for an encore performance. Vitiello's 51-yard effort doesn't produce the high note the Feds were looking for, and with less than a minute to go, Knapple directs the Generals into Washington territory. Mark Slauson's catch sets up a 50-yard finale. Who auditioned for his role just a few days before is the unlikeliest hero of all. And the General's 32-29 victory concludes with an epilogue of despair.
Federals fall over the ground, laid down. One, two, three of them, some kneeling, holding their head, sulking, walking off the field. What does this team have to do to win?
Needing a win to stay afloat in the Atlantic Division race, the Boston Breakers motor home for a rematch with a team that can nose them out of the chase. Kelvin Bryant's Philadelphia Stars. Boston fans figure stopping Kelvin's the key, and the Breaker defense is swarming to the task. Bryant, who gained 110 yards the first time against Boston, is held to a season-low 47. So Chuck Fusina looks for another way to break open the champagne and finds a spirited co-conspirator in Willie Collier. Collier makes such a splash with his quarterback that Fusina goes back to the well. And it's Collier's third touchdown catch of the year, all against Boston. Now, Philly coach Jim Mora can almost taste it. But Boston coach Dick Corey and quarterback Johnny Walton are looking to sour Philly's post-game plans. The league's second-rated passing attack is in the process of becoming number one. And Walton appears bent on revenge. The former Philadelphia Eagle finds another ex-bird in Charlie Homeboy Smith, one of several talented receivers from Grambling. Smith humbles Philadelphia's runaway and gets Boston back on the track. Down four, the Breakers have to dash 65 yards in less than 2 minutes.
The offense got a shot. Let's go.
Corey figures his best shot is with a shotgun. And Walton feathers his nest with yet another former Eagle, Louis Giamona. There's definitely a Philly twist to this attack, but the next big wave is made by a birthright Breaker. Nolan Franz, the team's top receiver. Boston gets more encouraging words while the reluctant Stars face the specter of seeing their 8-game winning streak end. With time for only one more play, Walton still shooting from the hip, and he fires up a Sunday afternoon special. Frank Lockett gets an immaculate deflection and gives the Breakers a party to remember. It's the fourth time Boston's come down to the final play, but the first time they've won. And it's a catharsis for Breaker fans everywhere. If ever there was a play that deserved a second look, It's this Johnny Walton pass that they're still celebrating in Boston. When Charlie Smith couldn't quite hang on, Frank Lockett went from innocent bystander to lucky breaker. The play gave Boston a big win and helped bring quarterback Walton even closer to Coach Corey.
I love the man, and I'm sure they're beginning to love him more. I love him because I've known him and associated with him a long time. The other players, they're beginning to probably realize that, you know, when he say things, he's just not saying it to be talking. He's saying it because it's coming from deep within.
35-year-old Johnny Walton comes from deep within the hills of North Carolina, where he was a legendary performer at tiny Elizabeth City College from 1965 through 68. Walton, who also went to high school in Elizabeth City, threw 52 touchdowns and passed for more than 4,000 yards in his college career. Now playing in his third pro league, Johnny Walton has his breakers battling for a playoff spot. And the veteran has more than just a passing interest in running off with a championship. In Chicago, Blitz fans are waiting for the storm to pass over. But head coach George Allen just looks at it as another advantage. A win will put the Blitz in first place and give them a measure of revenge against Arizona, who gave them their first loss. Tremaine Johnson becomes the league's first receiver to gain more than 1,000 yards. And Chicago just keeps running it up on the rankings. The punt return touchdown by Lenny Willis helps keep the party going strong. And just for kicks, the Blitz tries out a new receiver. The two-pointer goes to kicker Frank Corral. Arizona's biggest mistake might have been beating Chicago in the first place. And when the score is settled at 36-11, the Wranglers are buried in last place. First place L.A. is out to bury its California rival. To make a run at the Pacific Crown, Oakland has to focus on L.A.'s Mike Ray, who has visions of putting up a quick six. Oakland's Marcus Quinn has the best view of all and gives the home team a real head start. Invader quarterback Fred Bassana doesn't have to look far to find Stanford's Gordon Banks, who's right at home in L.A. territory. Bassana remains the league's highest-rated passer, but in heavyweight territory, he gives it to Jack Holmes to punch it in. Down by 7 in the second quarter, the Express eyes a tie. Wilbert Hasliff appears on the scene, and though at first there's some doubt, it's ruled he's got the score, and the game is tied. Now Ray gives way to second-half quarterback Tom Ramsey, but Hugh Campbell is seeing his game plan smothered by an aggressive Oakland defense. The Invaders then offer an up-close look at Art Whittington, the league's third leading rusher, who adds 92 to his total. But even eyewitnesses are amazed by a pass play from Bassana to tight end Raymond Chester, who finds a way to turn a fumble into a fortune and gives his team a lead it can hang on to. Oakland coach John Ralston likes what he sees. A 20-10 win and a tie for first place. And in Denver's program is head coach Craig Morton.
Greetings.
Hi.
Salutations.
How do you feel?
I feel wonderful.
Quarterback Fred Mortensen is assigned the task of maintaining his new boss's good humor, while Morton is determined to show his boss, Denver owner Ron Blanding, that he's the man to end the gold skid.
We're all proud guys that we don't like what's happening around here, in this city, on this team. And enough is enough. You guys get together and go out there and beat them. Let's go.
Burr Birmingham quarterback Bobby Lane quickly shows why the Stallions haven't been beaten in 5 weeks. They open with an 84-yard drive and close with a Jim Smith catch.
I'd say that's not a good start.
Morton had been covering games on network radio, while Mortensen had been on the Denver Gold's bench. But when the new quarterback is repeatedly trampled by Stallions, the ex-quarterback on the sidelines delivers his message loud and clear.
Come on, Freddie, get back there and stand tall. You don't have to be trapped in those.
That's ridiculous for him to get trapped on that. Stand up there. He can't go down that easily. Just stand up there and throw it. I don't care if it's intercepted.
God dang it!
Freddie, go sit down and relax. Don't talk to anybody, okay?
Come on, defense! Come on, D! Come on, now let's go!
Finally, Morton sees something he likes.
That's it, that's it! Okay, let's go. Come on, Freddie, come on!
Run the ball, okay? Let's pound him.
Early in the second quarter, Mortensen's already taken enough of a pounding and is happy to give 5'8" Vincent White a chance.
Way to go, big man. You were off and gone. This has got to be great.
Back up, man. Back up. Get out there. Get out there. Get up. That's it.
When Mortensen leads the goal to the Stallion 3, Morton sets him up.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. It's perfect. Oh, we got the calls in the right calls.
Yeah!
With the score 7-0, Morton now wants to pour it on.
How about an onside kick?
Huh?
How about onside?
Well, get it.
We can onside it. Onside it. I want it recovered. Onside it.
Go! Cover! Damn it!
In the last minute of the first half, Birmingham gets a tiebreaker. Scott Norwood's 42-yarder.
We want one of those. Let's change this thing around.
In the third quarter, Steve Gort's booming punt offers Denver the turning point it's been looking for.
Oh, yeah!
Give us a break!
Give us a break!
Coming in with the big guys, a 7-1. How about T quick? You have the 7-0 to go. Let's go. I hate to rush through that play twice, but we really do. Nice, folks. Way to go.
With the goal leading by a point late in the third, Morton wants to see what counterattack Bobby Lane has planned.
Yes! Yes! Yes, 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 yes! Yes, they like! Yes!
David Dumars increases the goal lead to 8. In the fourth quarter, Birmingham strikes right back. Daryl Mason chips away at the goal lead, but Morton is already thinking ahead.
They're going to go for two. Wait a minute, they're going for two. They got to go for two.
A successful two-point conversion could tie the game at 21. We'll be right back. goal just needs to keep possession as the clock winds down.
Here's the big play right here. That 118 Ted. H flat go.
It's third and one. Coach Morton and quarterback Mortensen are on the spot. Only four Mortensen completions on the night, but it's enough.
Thank you. Thanks. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The 21-19 victory breaks a five-game Denver losing streak, moves the goal to within a game of first place in the Pacific Division, and makes the coaching debut of Craig Morton a resounding success.